Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN Chicago. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me now, the president of Violence Interrupters Incorporated and an adjunct professor of criminal justice at Governor State University. A return visit for Teo Hardeman. Mr. Hardeman, good to see you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here with you, Justin.
I really enjoyed our conversation. You were a guest at the big table not too long ago. This week is a big one, obviously. We saw what happened not only with last week's numbers, but the week before with Labor Day when it comes to violence. Today, the mayor's policy kind of leaked out. It was an article in the Sun-Times about a tactic that he wants to take when it comes to violence. And it's really about looking more at social than criminal and really pointing a finger at absentee fathers. This was the article saying that's really what he sees to be a problem in the African-American community when it comes to gun violence. You're a violence interrupter. You've been there. Is he on the right course?
Well, definitely as it relates to having more fathers in the homes, it couldn't hurt, okay? We do have an issue in the African-American community with like maybe 7 out of 10 homes do not have fathers or male role models in the household. That's documented. However, the mayor is not really in a position to talk about that because he has his own skeletons in his closet with the cover-up of the Laquan McDonald, you know, homicide.
Right.
And so the mayor is just reaching for straws, basically, because every initiative that the police department, and I'm not anti-police, I want to make that clear, but every initiative they try to deploy in the community, they don't see any results. Superintendent Eddie Johnson said that they take a gun off the streets every hour. Taking guns off the streets, that's not reducing the killings and shootings in Chicago. We have a public health emergency going on in Chicago, which needs to be addressed. President Obama needs to, on a higher level, address this as a public health emergency.
You took my second question. the idea, I mean, that's kind of how I set it up. The concept of calling the gun violence epidemic a state of emergency, almost like what you do with a flood or what you do with other, that's been thrown out. Not necessarily the trite bringing the National Guard. That's not what that means.
Exactly.
State of emergency means federal money and resources being given to an issue that needs to be addressed. You believe that gun violence and what's happening in the South and West sides of Chicago, all of Chicago, it meets that standard.
Yes, without a doubt, because violence spreads like an infectious disease, you know, because it continues to happen no matter what you do. If the police work overtime, the violence is still high. If they don't work overtime, it doesn't really matter. See, everybody in Chicago is in response mode, which dictates coming after somebody gets shot. The police have been responding like this for over 100 years. The majority of community groups come after somebody gets shot. You have a prayer vigil. You go out there and you shut down a street and all that. But the thing is, you got to go directly to the shooters if you want to stop the killing. And a lot of people are afraid to approach those type of guys. Superintendent Johnson.
So the preventative is always just about raising awareness. But if you really want to get preventative, go to the, I mean, because super, like you were just going to say, I'm assuming Superintendent Johnson has the list.
Exactly. He talked about a list of 1,400 individuals that are driving the violence. If you have a list, why don't you turn that list over to community organizations like Violence Interrupters? Give us the resources to work directly with the guys on the list if they're the ones driving the violence. I know for a fact that most of the violence out here is interpersonal conflict. People are getting into it about some of any and everything. So it's hard to stop it because people don't talk about killing. They just commit to act. So we need more help on a public health level so that people can get the necessary resources they need to think on a higher level. Because, you know, violence is learned behavior passed down from generation to generation.
Well, I mean, that's really at the core of it. It's about resources. If it's going to be federal resources, that's one thing.
Right.
We've heard here in the city, Mayor Emanuel pledged to put more police officers on the street to find money for more police officers. Do you think that there's money in the city budget, in the state budget, to be able to fund violence prevention without using the federal government?
Well, the thing is, we have to think about a radical approach in Chicago. We have over 500 homicides this year. Over 3,000 people have been shot. So we need the type of resources where we can go hire those shooters out there and turn those guys into peacemakers, and I can train them in the art of violence interruption.
Actually, hire the gangbangers out of the gang.
That's what I'm talking about.
Really?
That's how it's needed.
Okay, let me ask you about that, because you know a lot of people will say that the gangbang is a livelihood. It's something that there's a drug trade they're protecting. Do you feel like that would be something that they would be interested in if you had money and you said, hey, I will give you a paycheck, I will give you the money to replace that if you come on my side and help stop violence. You think that the young kids slanging on the block are interested in that?
Well, 30% of the violence pretty much surrounds itself around the, you know, the drug sales. Some guys are making money. But 70% of the violence, guys are just shooting because of reputation. They're shooting because of revenge motives. I don't like this guy. Interpersonal conflict. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is give me the 1,400 individuals and give me the resource to hire those guys directly and let me work with them because I have a proven track record. You know, when I was the director of Ceasefire Illinois, I hired over 300 ex-offenders, and we got the job done. Homicides were down by 25% in the city of Chicago. So everything I talk about is based on data. Give me the people, the toughest guys in Chicago, and let me work with them. I guarantee you we can reduce homicides in Chicago by at least 30 to 40%.
Wow. I'm listening. Tio Hardiman in studio with me right now. I'm interested, though, because, you know, we had Philip Jackson on talking about his peace surge that he did just after Labor Day, which was somewhat successful. I mean, successful in terms of awareness, but still the numbers were through the roof, the biggest holiday weekend when it comes to violence. Right. How can you guarantee the numbers will go down just based on this? Because it does feel that violence is evolving in the way that it's changing from maybe how it was done in the 90s or the 2000s. It's become, as you mentioned, interpersonal and just so much about little beefs, stuff that isn't even in the old days. It would be, I'm going to push you in the shoulder. Instead, now people are shooting people, taking people's lives.
Well, a lot of mental health problems exist in Chicago, a lot of psychotic behavior. So what I'm saying to the city leaders and the governor and everybody, I have a proven track record. Give me the shooters. Let me work with them. And I guarantee you we will reduce violence by 40% in Chicago because the young guys need somebody that can join their world and then bring them into to a higher level of understanding. And I can do that. I'm like a general, you know. I can get to guys and talk their language and let them know, look, brother, I need you to help me. And now you're getting paid to help bring peace to your community. Put the gun down and take care of your family, my brother. Take care of your people.
We talked about this when you were here before, and I thought that to be very compelling, the concept of how you even engage with somebody who is a shooter, how you engage with somebody who's in a gang. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it something that you, I mean, obviously you've been doing this for years, and you know, you're a mature gentleman. You know, you're getting up there in age, Tio. The concept being, do they see you coming and they go, here comes Uncle Tio, I'm going to roll my eyes. I mean, how do you develop a rapport with a 17, 16-year-old, 15-year-old kid who has a gun?
Well, what helps me out a lot is most guys know about me before I even come on the block. You know, they've heard about my work as Ceasefire, my work as the president of Violence and Eruptors. You know, I ran for governor before. So I'm like a stand-up community guy, you know, so they kind of respect my opinion, so to speak. So when I could show up, I catch some guys one-on-one, and I basically go off on them, man. You know you shouldn't be out here pulling this gun on nobody. I mean, what's really going on with you? Now, one good thing about it is I have total respect. It's called a ghetto pass. Any block I go on, I tell the guys in advance I'm coming out. Hey, come on out, my brother. What you need? And a lot of guys flock to me when I come out in the community, so I appreciate that. Now, there are certain levels of killers that you're not going to stop. Some of these guys, they work in security on the block. You have to talk to the guy that's paying them to work security in order to stop them guys from shooting somebody.
That's their job.
That's right.
I mean, it's terrible, but that's their job, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
They're not going to listen to you. You know, they're getting paid by somebody else. Tio Hardiman, my guest in studio. We're talking about violence, gun violence here in Chicago. He's the president of Violence Interrupters Incorporated. And he's also an adjunct professor of criminal justice at Governor State University. Take a quick break. We'll come back, continue the conversation. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman talking gun violence as we get ready for this weekend. Tio Hardiman's in studio. He's the president of Violence Interrupters Incorporated, as well as an adjunct professor at Governor State University in the field of criminal justice. Tio, I'm interested because, you know, today that was such a big article, and it's coming out next week, so it'll be big news when we talk about Rahm Emanuel really being able to shift what he wants to do. And it sounds like, and he's talking to a lot of different leaders in the African American community about the idea of almost shifting from criminal to social. That, you know, there are social problems that need to be addressed, and if we can address those social problems like absentee fathers, that will help to reduce violence.
Well, the bigger question, how are you going to address the issue of absentee fathers? This has been going on for a long time. I've said it many times before. In order to really reduce the violence, African-American men must get involved in the lives of their cousins, their nephews, and their sons and daughters, whatever the case may be. That's a no-brainer. The thing is, the mayor's reaching for straws because of political cronyism. They continue to fund a lot of groups out here, and they always talking about more police, and it's not working right now. So now reach for something else, a social way to attack the violence. The reality, the only way you're going to stop it, and I'm the first one to say this, you must have a relationship with the killers out there, and that relationship must be good enough where them guys will listen to you when you ask them not to shoot somebody.
The Chicago police will probably push back because they don't necessarily, not unlike we hear from the federal government when they say we don't negotiate with terrorists, they're not looking to have a relationship with the shooters. The shooters are the criminals.
Well, the Chicago police have to kind of grow a little bit. That's the reason why I always talk about there's a need for a younger police superintendent in Chicago, someone between the ages of 30 and 35, someone that has not been pretty much tainted with all the old school policing strategies, so we can meet these young people where they are right now. See, nobody wants to talk about that. It would be revolutionary to hire a female, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, young police chief in Chicago for the first time and then allow them to start, because you need somebody with a younger mind that understands what's going on in current times, because the gangs have evolved into cliques. It's not like it used to be. Everybody has a crazy cousin. You need to know the block by block dynamics in order to stop the killing out here. This is nothing new. You know, I looked at the homicide rates all the way back to 1928. And you had over 400 homicides in Chicago in 1928. So the police are more like in a response mode, like, say, coming after the fact. Mm-hmm. The police, and I'm not anti-police, I have to make that clear, but they should change the name on the car to serve and respond, because everybody waits for the crime to be committed, then they get involved.
You know, I mean, for all the conversations we have as well, I mean, the Chicago police, that is what we expect of them, to serve and respond. I don't expect the Chicago police in any form, and I don't think our leaders do, or even the taxpayers expect them to go out and prevent crime. How can they do that? They need to be in a position where they can solve crime, or they can deter crime, I guess would be a better way to think about it.
Well, this is the catch, Brother Justin. I'm glad you brought that up. The homicide clearance rate is only about 32% in the city, so they're not even solving the crimes. So what I'm saying is that stop going on the news talking about you got these plans to reduce the killings if you don't know how to solve or reduce the killings. And what I'm saying is that I'm willing to train police. Also, this would be revolutionary in the art of conflict resolution. So they can go out here and maybe bring some of these guys to see that the police can be very effective if they just listen here. You can go to the guys and say, look, I don't want to know nothing about you with no guns. I don't want to know anything about anything. I just want to stop you from killing this other guy. We know you're going to do it, but let's talk about it, see if we can work it out.
Well, I mean, I think that there may be steps going in that direction. The idea that the superintendent has continued to press the fact that he has a list, that there's 1,400, it was 12 to 1,400 shooters that they know. That has to be something that is of value to them, that they know this at some point or another, resources, programs, police training, something is going to move in the direction of addressing those 12 to 1,400 people.
Well, this is the thing. There's a professor named David Kennedy out of John Jay College on the East Coast. The list has been talked about all the way back to Jody Weiss, Superintendent McCarthy, Project Safe Neighborhoods. They have all these guys come in. They talk to them, talk down to them, really. You better not commit no crimes or this was going to happen. Everybody knows about the list. It's been talked about for years.
I'm talking
about, if not a decade now. So if that be the case, what have you done with the list over the last 10 years? Zero. If the same people are driving the violence, what we have to do is become more proactive and preventive opposed to responding. Because everybody's making good names for themselves in the media every time somebody gets shot. Whether it be a preacher, whether it be a community, whoever, hey, we're going to go march today. Go march on the killer's front porch. Okay?
I love that concept. I mean, obviously changing the paradigm to where, you know, the shooters and the killers are the ones that are that's where the focus is,
right,
as opposed to the police or I mean, and with all due respect and a lot of respect to victims. But in terms of the killers and the shooters, the ones, if we know who's doing this, then maybe bring the fight to them in terms of protests and whatever.
Right.
The question I have, and it's the same as you just said, like when there is a tragedy, it is exploited.
Right.
It's exploited by whether it be a community activist or a church or police or whatever it might be. But the question I have is how, if you're expecting to bring resources in, new resources, and they want to come, how do you keep it from that money being exploited, for that money being misused? We saw what happened with the governor's plan, with the Governor Quinn. I mean, we know the history of ceasefire in a way. How do you make it so that the money actually goes to the bottom line, which is reducing violence?
Well, you have to make sure the resources go to maybe an outsider. Somebody that's not part of the cronyism, somebody that you can support and fund that's still going to speak his or her mind, in spite of you funding them, because a lot of people compromise once they become a part of the cronyism.
Because they want another check, right?
That's what I'm talking about. So I get more results from young men that Not on nobody's payroll, and I ask them to go do me a favor and stop a killing, they go do it for me. They're not even getting paid. That's the reason why I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I can train young men and potential shooters out there to become peace ambassadors here in Chicago, and together we can reduce homicides by 40%.
What's happening this weekend as we get ready? Give us a quick insight to what you think is going to happen this weekend. Are we going to see the same kind of numbers that we saw last week and the weekend before when it comes to not only shootings but homicides?
Well, hopefully it won't be as high as the Labor Day weekend, but at the same time, we can always expect a few homicides over the weekend and several shootings because it's become the norm. That's why it has to be addressed as a public health emergency, because every weekend we're looking at this. Every year we're expecting over 400 homicides in Chicago. To the credit of some of my staff, we mediated 25 conflicts so far this year that could have turned deadly, and we stopped somebody from killing another person.
Well, Teo, continue the work. I'm excited to have you back on, because I'd love to talk to you more about this and make it a regular appearance on the download, just about how solutions and how we can solve problems that are happening to help reduce gun violence. Teo Hardeman is the president of Violence Interrupters Incorporated. He's also an adjunct professor of criminal justice at Governor State University. Teo, thanks for being here.
Appreciate you, Justin.